Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with...
Margaret Colin.
Who is starring in the new play at Arena Stage called The City of Conversation from January 29th through March 6th. It's the DC debut of the play. First of all, thanks for coming in as the blizzard is about, you know, bearing down on us. Are you okay? Are you going to get snowed in Arena Stage?
Probably, but they have us staying right next door, so it's okay. I went out to Target and got some snow boots last night, so I'm good.
Okay, you're good on the boots.
I'm good on the boots. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. You know,
were the Target aisles really empty?
They were really empty.
Really? People just wiped it out?
Yeah, they did. But I was glad to get in and get something that can get ruined in the snow, and I'll be all right.
Well, that's good. Maybe you can wear them on stage.
No, we're not. We're just in rehearsal hall. We're still putting it together.
Awesome. Okay, let's go into the play. So obviously you know what it's about, and I've read the synopsis of what it's about. But let's hear it in your own words for our listeners. Tell us what the City of Conversation is about.
It refers to a quote in literature referring to Washington, D.C. and Georgetown within Washington. And it's about politics, which is why I'm so excited to do the play here.
Sure.
I play a hostess, a Georgetown hostess, which is not really a sexual term. It's a political term. Literally, to quote the play, that was when a president could get out of the White House. The one we refer to in the play is Kennedy, okay. And come to White House, and just because someone brilliant was there, he could learn something. And in this case, Kennedy went to Alsop's hats, Joe Alsop, and met Isaiah Berlin, and who advised him on how the Russians behave when they're under pressure, which was right before the Cuban Missile Crisis. So we refer to that. That's who she is. She puts together great parties for great minds and moves a social agenda forward. And her name is Hester Ferris.
Hester.
And she's
not Hester Perrin, right? When I hear Hester, that's what I think of.
Yeah. And it's she's liberal and she's Democrat. And she has a son and he comes home with a girlfriend who turns out to be a fiancé, and they are not liberal, nor are they Democrat. And this is huge news to Hester. And the play
A different sort of guest who's coming to dinner.
Yes. Yes. So the first evening we meet this lovely group of people. We're moving a social agenda forward that's very important to Hester and her boyfriend, who's a senator. And
now when you say social agenda, what do you mean? You know? Is this a civil rights movement, or what's going on at the time?
Civil rights. Ted Kennedy.
Okay.
The Kennedy family is a big name that we throw out there, the playwright throws out there. And it's trying to get judges that are up for nomination to the federal judiciary to resign from all white country clubs.
Right.
So it's civil rights. And then the play jumps to Bork, and then it jumps to Obama's inauguration. So it's an ambitious evening in the theater, and and it's the huge desire for both parties to talk to each other, and whether or not they will, and the cost of forcing change.
Yeah. Now, obviously, we have listeners of all political stripes here. You know?
Yeah.
What might speak to, you know, maybe someone that might be more on the conservative side? You know, they're coming to the stage, you know, what sort of themes might hit, you know, be universal?
Oh, I certainly hope people from the conservative side come, because the playwright, Tony Giardina, addresses that need for conversation from both sides, to battle really strongly from both sides. So today being the March for Life here in Washington, D.C., the young Republican people within the play talk about the rights of fetuses as an emerging majority, an area to be concerned with, and comes right smacked up with Hester's opinion that that's not nearly as important as women and blacks, and also that it's a hindrance, you know. So that battle is alive and well, and really represented from both sides, really fairly, I believe. So, awesome. So yeah, come see, you know. And we have people from Kentucky in the play, and we have people from, you know, the characters are from Kentucky, and of course it's a lovely mix of New York actors and wonderful actors here from Washington. So, it's pretty exciting. It's the same group that brought it in. It's obviously, Tony's joined us here in rehearsal. Doug Hughes is our director. And he did – I've worked with him before on a Shanley play called Defiance, which was military.
Where was this? Was this in New York?
In New York. Yep. And Doug directed this play, A City of Conversation, in Lincoln Center for its debut. And it's the same Tony Award winning design team for the clothes, the wardrobe, Catherine Zuber, and of course the set with John Lee Beatty. So that's really exciting.
Wow.
It took it from a proscenium stage,
right,
you know, where the audience sits and looks at the rectangle,
yeah,
to the round, which is, it's really like.
So it's the round theater at Arena Stage.
Yeah. The fish. Isn't that what you all call it here?
The fish handler. Okay. Yeah. They, what did we, they did Fiddler there in that round. They did Oliver in there. Yeah. Yeah. That's going to, that's a cool space.
It is. And it's a, it's a, it's the salon. It's the living room. So we're, it's a really great metaphor for fighting. You know, we're in an arena and, and we go at it. So she's a fierce woman. She's a fiercely, a woman fiercely dedicated to her political vision, like some people are with religion, like some people are passionate about their families.
Right. What do you think made her that way? Because obviously when you're sculpting the character, even if it's not in the page, maybe it's in the play. But, you know, as you're sitting thinking about this character, what do you think made her that way, you know?
We don't know a lot about her family. He didn't write it. So I think what made her that way is the opportunity for her to have an enormous influence on the history, the current government of our country. And since we start in the late 70s, early 80s, it wasn't so easy. The whole idea of dual careers, parallel tracks for a married couple really wasn't that possible.
Right.
So when she runs into the next generation of politically active females, they won those rights.
Right.
And that's so I think she was under the shadow of a couple of very strong-minded men, and she came to Washington to be her own person, to force change, to be a part of a change for the better of the world,
and
leave her mark on it. So she's very famous. She's pretty darn wealthy. We know that from the playwright. And what I've come up with her is, you know, not the strongest, happiest father image. Maybe
I see. Yeah. Okay, okay. That, yeah. See, I'm always curious what the actors bring to it in that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So thanks for sharing that with me.
You know, fiercely dedicated to her son.
Yeah.
And then there's a grandson who is probably the love of her life. So
now, do you pull some – I know off before we got on here, you were mentioning your own sons.
Yeah.
So do you pull any from that?
You can't help it.
Yeah.
You know, they ask like lots of productions do, TV and film and a lot of the places I've worked, they ask for photos, home photos. And now we had to go back because, like, as we've established, the play goes over a stretch of time. So I brought in some pictures. And I said, if you put this picture of me with my kids on the set, I'm going to go. So let me know if it's going to be on the set. Because I'll lose it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like mom dumb. You know, just Margaret Mary and her sons will pop up instead of Hester Ferris. You know.
Right. Speaking of Margaret, do you have any, you know, prior experience with Georgetown? Is this your first time even being there? Or, you know, you mean, how do you relate to someone that might be working there, like your character?
Well, I actually do a lot of political work I did it with Feminists for Life and then now Feminists for Nonviolent Choices. So I have come down and I've spoken in Georgetown at a couple of conferences for life, which was thrilling and terrifying, and I learned an awful lot. I feel like the brain level here is through the roof. When I was here before, my son also went to Catholic University.
Ah.
So in the Northwest quadrant.
Nice
so
plug.
So I go and I'm familiar with that area.
Right.
I'm not so familiar with the metro and I'm not so fond of it, but I'm learning because we're in the Southwest quadrant now with the Arena Stage. So I did shop and dine in Georgetown and it's gorgeous. And then we were invited to Sally Quinn's house to do some photos for the poster. Very generous of her to allow us in. And that place is insane.
Sure.
It's insane. So you get – it was the best preparation for this role to actually – because that would be the closest to
exactly.
Esther.
Yeah. You're almost walking in her shoes for a bit.
Yeah.
Do you – as you're walking down Georgetown, do you have people react to you and like, I know her. Like literally, when she came in the newsroom, a couple people went – hey, I know her from Gossip Girl or Independence Day or whatever.
Well,
yeah,
there are young people in the newsroom floor, and they would know me from Gossip Girl. and you know, if they go to the theater in New York, they would know me from there. And Independence Day is the one from you know, God, 20 years ago now. So
that was my, that's what I grew up watching you.
There you go. There you go. And then somebody's going to walk over and say, I watched you with my grandmother on
right.
As the World Turned. And I'm grateful.
Exactly.
I've been doing this since I was 19.
Yeah.
So I'm really grateful for the all the generations of people who know who I am and
like
my work.
We actually had, speaking of that, we interviewed Leighton Meester not long ago. She did a show at the Birchmere, like a singer show. She's trying to do the musician thing now. Yeah,
she was doing it before. She had a hit record out.
What are your memories? You know, playing her. You played her mother, right?
I did.
Yeah. What were your memories of that show and that whole relationship?
It's how lucky I was that I was her mother. She's a lovely young woman.
Yeah.
And she's a married lady with a baby now, and I got to meet her baby just a few months ago in D.C. I think she's terrific. The best part about it was shooting in New York, and I could do, Gertrude and Hamlet and Shakespeare in the Park at the same time I was shooting a series that, you know, reached a huge global audience.
Right. So you got the best of both worlds.
Yeah,
really,
and I could do feature films and independent films, and I wasn't under contract, so I had a lot of freedom, but I was very recognized. And one of the silliest things was playing Katharine Graham, you know, another Washington Post, right? Political bigwig. I toured China with the Pentagon Papers with LA Theater Works, me and a bunch of guys, and who played multiple roles telling the story of the Pentagon Papers. Right. But everywhere I went, I was Brer Mama because.
I like that. Someone says
that,
do you actually answer to that?
I do know. I like it, Brer Mama. I shall Brer Mama.
That's
what it sounded like.
Where was this?
This was in China, Shanghai and Beijing and
other
places I've forgotten. It was a big.
And your son's in India, so maybe it'll be Brer Mama's son.
I like it.
All right, cool. Well, I want to bring it back to the play because
that's
right. But one more question, since you mentioned Independence Day, the new one's coming out, right? You're not coming back for that one, right?
No.
Jeff Goldblum is.
Yes.
So if everyone listening, because you can't see her, you're listening on the radio, at the end, you got Will Smith and Vivica Fox looking up at the exploding thing, and you got Jeff Goldblum and Our Lady here.
And me and Bill Pullman.
Bill Pullman is the president.
Yeah.
You had Randy Quaid, Robert Loggia. Is that how you say it?
Yeah,
Loggia,
God rest his
who passed
soul.
Away.
He's gone, yep.
Man.
And so the only ones who don't make it that lived through the whole film is Will Smith and myself. Everybody else is back.
Did they give an explanation why
you
guys are killed
off?
Yeah, I can't say it over the radio. Oh, yeah, okay, okay.
I gave them an explanation.
Well, are you excited to go see it anyway?
No, I'm boycotting it.
Oh, you're boycotting it because they killed you off?
I'm dead. Yeah. I'm dead. And I said, how about,
Yeah.
I actually called him up and said, flashback? Something?
Yeah.
No.
Well, what are your memories of working with Jeff and Will and him?
Well, it was a huge film.
Yeah.
Massive film, the biggest budget film ever. So it was the first Learjet I was ever on to go audition for it, and I auditioned in two different cities. They flew me from Manhattan to L.A., where I met with the head of casting for 20th Century Fox, and then they put me in this lovely private jet to go to the Salt Flats, where they were already filming, and I auditioned in Roland Emmerich's trailer. I did three scenes, and then they stood outside, and I'm in my audition clothes, and I'm standing on the crunchy salt and waiting to see if I stay and go to work or if they send me home, which is mind-boggling. But they opened the cabinet, opened the door up, says, you can stay. So I immediately, went into wardrobe fittings and met the cast. And, of course, I didn't know any of them.
Right.
I knew no one in the company. Yeah. And what stays with me from all those years ago was how charismatic Will Smith was.
Yeah, he was a baby in terms of comparing to now. Yeah,
yeah. And very prepared and very, when every time he hit the set, he was, working his Will Smith charisma.
So that struck you. You said he's going to be huge. You could tell.
I said how nice to have such a young kid. Beautiful, so enthusiastic, coming on the set every day. There was nothing, and I had made quite a few movies by then. So, and Jeff was delicious and charming and sexy and handsome and smooth and I liked that. And Bill, I had just seen in a couple of films, and we had, he had a couple of films out at that time, and I really admired his work. I think one was with Nicole Kidman, so we sort of.
Yeah.
Hit it off right in the makeup trailer because I established myself as a fan.
Was he in A League of Their Own around the same time too?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah.
So the scale of it, the scope of it, going to see the aliens in that set was mind blowing.
I bet.
And I remember the biggest direction Roland gave me was Cools de Rule.
Went, Cools de Rule?
Cools de Rule. I went, okay, let me look that up in my actor's studio handbook. Just be cool. Oh, okay.
I'll That's in the dictionary cool. right under Brer's Mama. Cools de Rule.
Yes, Margaret's handbook.
Awesome. I love it. Oh, I could sit and talk ID4 with you all
it was,
day.
It was really fun. And, yeah. of course, it was character driven. Yeah. So people really were hooked in the relationships and the values of the family. You know, and even Harvey Fierstein was a huge yeah. presence in it, and I became very good friends with him in New York after that. Mm-hmm. So it reached to a really big audience, and I think, like with all really good films, if the characters draw you in, then you'll go on the ride with them.
And maybe that'll be the same at Arena Stage. The characters will draw you in, and see how we brought it back around.
Thank you.
Got to bring
smooth.
It back.
Smooth
exactly.
the rule here.
Smooth the rule at WTOP. Take that, Jeff Goldblum. awesome. Anything else about the play? You mentioned the director. Oh, you mentioned it's the same Tony-winning designers working yeah. on it. So tell me a little bit about visually what it will. You know, what will we kind of get? Is it like a minimal set? Is it lavish? You know, what sort of the deal?
It's for the little bit of you can't have sets. You can't have walls because
right,
then there's
because
a whole
the,
you take. The they
round.
Won't be able to see you.
Right.
So they're getting so close. The audience is so close, like as close as we are here. Mm-hmm. So there's no, as I like to call it, there's no wind up. You can't, you know, hide behind anything.
Right.
You just have to hit the wings running and fully deliver these passionate people from different sides of the world and also different sides of the world, you know, politically. Yeah. But, you know, huge emotional investments in the relationship. I mean, Hester's mad for her son. And that moment when you realize that your son is dating someone that you don't like, or perhaps it's the same with daughters, I don't know.
I'm sure.
I am a daughter, so I knew in a second if my mother liked or disliked
right.
who I brought home.
Yep.
And probably went for the one she disliked. But,
isn't that just natural?
I think that's part of the breaking away
yeah.
deal. But and the set is beautifully decorated. Again, almost all the furniture has been built at the amazing shop there. My clothes are stunning. Stunning. All of them built for me here at the Arena Stage
oh.
with Catherine's design, but an amazing team. And that, you know, this. You're looking at everything.
Yeah.
So you're seeing everything. To the last detail, it's authentic and quite beautiful and of a really good quality. But then time goes on and we kind of don't use the room that much because
right.
the woman – I go to 80. I become 80. So there's – and the play flies by. There's no – you know, you're going to have to pay a lot of attention. And it's right. really great playwriting because it stays ahead of the audience.
Who wrote it?
Tony Giordana.
Ooh.
He's written other things.
She just smiled big time when she said that.
Well,
she must like the work.
I like the work. I like him. We've been able to have the luxury of having the sometimes you just want to do dead playwrights in
right.
foreign cities. But
they don't give you many notes.
Exactly. But I've gotten to work with lots of living playwrights in New York. And it's always been an honor. Mm-hmm. And when they're passionate, I've gotten notes from them on how to make the character better. On how to, like I did a day in the death of Joe Egg, and the playwright of that came over and sat with me, and you know he called me, and I was terrified. Oh my God, he's talking. Oh my God, Mr. Nichols wants to speak to me. I must be really terrible. And my husband, the amazing Justin D, said, Margaret, it's an honor. You're playing this character that they created, yeah. and he wants to tell you his thoughts on it. It's an honor.
Yeah.
And that's he changed my mind about
it. It's a badge of honor, right there.
It
yeah.
is. So I got to sit alone with that, and I've had a lot of time with Tony, and now that I have more of the character under my belt, I'm going to ask him some really hard-hitting questions like, why did he write this
right.
woman? You know, what is at stake for him
right.
with her? Because we've got some very fancy, educated, brilliant cast here, Michael and Carolyn and Tom and Todd and Janice, and I'm working with this stunning little boy, Tyler, and the cast is really great and various different levels of education.
And they're mostly from D.C., the rest of the cast?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, Michael's from New York, and Carolyn's from New York, but the rest of the cast, I think, is from here.
Okay.
And, you know, they look at a part like I like to look at the – Michael will say to me, I like to look at the function my character plays, what the playwright has in mind for the function of my character. And I'm like – Okay. I'm pretty much on the emotional track of the character. That's really where I live. And it's quite a workout. We're getting into doing run-throughs every day.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty exhausted because it's quite an emotional journey. And she's really wicked funny.
Right.
She's very, very funny woman.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy to do it. I'm more than a little intimidated to coming into this city of conversation where there are so many smart people. I mean,
it's a highly cultured city. Yeah.
And passionate about politics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as opposed to the show we're getting on television now and the other time, you know, we were watching we watched the State of the Union. Mm-hmm. And so just as silly as it's right down the block, you know, from Arena. We didn't have that experience for any other State of the Union.
Right.
And the ideas in President Obama's speech are absolutely in ours. You know, they're absolutely the things that we're arguing. And the things he leaves out and left out, like, you know, the rights of the unborn, right there in our play.
Right.
You know, and bring that conflict
on.
Very relevant. I mean, no ISIS, but in our play, but you know, talking about Vietnam.
Right. It's not the exact same.
No.
History, what is it? Doesn't repeat itself, but it does rhyme. That's the phrase.
Oh, does it?
Yeah. I can't remember. Was that Twain, maybe? We'll have to look that up. But I always like that quote.
And Tony says, if you live long enough, you come to understand that politics is about tides. And I think that's fairly accurate. But what the idea that both sides have to talk,
you
have to come to terms, is very strong in our play. And you can make of that as you will. It's certainly a theme of the playwright, and it's kicked around pretty hard by the family members and the cast, and you know the people in the cast and the new family, the in-laws who will become the in-laws, and at what price?
Right.
At what price do what you believe in bang up against who you love?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I saw it in New York. I'm one of the lucky people who did get to see it in New York, and I was haunted by
it. When was this? When did you see it?
A year and a half ago.
Okay. So take me into that, because that's juicy for my piece, obviously.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there, and you're watching it. Are you thinking, wow, I want to play that one day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I go to the theater for acting.
Right.
The first reason I go to the theater is for the acting. And I had worked with Kristen Bush in a play before in a very, very tiny space. And she played the daughter, who is now my daughter-in-law. And I came to support her and to see Doug's work. And it's a leading lady role that I certainly could play.
Right.
In fact, it's a lot of people on stage of these years, which is, you know, fantastic for me. And I completely support that. I put my money down to see that.
Sure.
So I was very satisfied with the acting, and I was absolutely shaken about, you know, as the French say, esprit de l'escalier, and the spirit of the stairs. What I wish I had thought of was, am I like that? Do I have passions and feelings? And is my list of what is okay to do and not okay to do enough to separate me from the people that I love?
Yeah.
So, and I still, emotional. Yeah, and I think that is why I said yes to do the play.
Wow. Why do you think, why is that making you choke up right now?
I have people
think?
I love. And if my list of rights and wrongs and my belief does that, then I really have to look at that belief, you know, because I worship a guy who kind of doesn't think that.
Right.
You know, and so it got really personal, and it got really
look in the mirror,
that's the best theater, isn't it?
That's the best roles to play,
yeah,
for sure.
If we can live something out on stage for you, so that maybe you don't have to make those mistakes in your life,
right?
I think that is absolutely the function of theater.
I think that's why we both love this industry. That's why we're in this racket. We can't get enough of it.
Yeah. Well, I love people.
Yeah.
You know, the human condition is endlessly fascinating.
Yeah.
And when you get to look at it and elevate it.
Hold it up and shine a light on what everyone's going through, except maybe, you know,
you
have all this captive audience in a dark room and you get to put that out there for them.
Yeah.
Incredible.
In the mouth of a really brilliant playwright guided by a brilliant director with other...
And a brilliant actress.
No, thank you. It's some pretty stunning people on stage. We're really, really fortunate. And, you know, this is my first time acting in D.C. It's my first time at the Arena. I never saw anything there.
Right.
I haven't been in the round probably since I went to Hofstra University for 5 minutes. So I've done thrust stages. I've done prosceniums. But this whole 360 thing is quite a challenge because everybody counts and everybody gets to see you. So
definitely,
it's hard to hide those lines.
No, don't want it anyway. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming in. What's that? I mean, if someone's listening to this and they're on the fence about whether to go, maybe if there's too much snow on the ground, what's the final sell? What you know? What's the final? Yeah, to get them in there.
Oh my God. Well, it's about this city. So, yeah. You know, come and see if we got it right. Come and you know, throw all that DC brilliance at me on stage. Let me feel what it sounds like to you know, take you to church in your own building. What is it? You know, are you buying it? I think you will. I want to know what you think. I want to feel that DC energy, that intelligence that I feel when I come down here. I want to feel it in a theater and take the play to another level.
Well, I'm buying it. So cool is the rule.
Cool is the rule.
All right. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. You're a doll.